Okay, here we go. Third episode of what we're calling Time Capsule Podcast. Today, I get the incredible honor of having Seth Hood, the man, the myth, the legend, on here. Super pumped, randomly in Oklahoma. I guess not as random for him. He's been prepping to be here. I just didn't know he was going to be here till like 2 days ago. So Seth, thanks for being on here.
Of course, of course. Excited to hear that it's the third episode.
Right.
Let's go.
I know. Still a little new to the game, but thoroughly enjoying the experience. I have some pretty incredible and impressive people in my life. So I get to do these podcasts and learn from them and dig in, and it's been really fun. But brief intro to Seth Hood. He is a person who is a bookman. And I think that speaks a lot for itself. But Seth and I had our first summer together back in 2017.
Yep.
Glory days, right?
Oh, yeah.
Both top first years. We definitely met after our first summer at some point. Mm-hmm. I don't remember specifically when, probably like Sizzler.
Probably somewhere around there.
Somewhere around Sizzler. Seth is a person that everybody just kind of likes being around. I've never met one person that doesn't like thoroughly just love Seth. So definitely an easy person to hang out with, easy person to be around. I think my favorite memory, was it after our second summer that we went and hiked across Catalina Island?
Man, that's tough to remember. It was before third or fourth? I think it was before our third.
Yeah, I think it was going into our third summer. Mm-hmm. We were talking earlier about how we kind of randomly link up
at different all over the points. Country, you know?
Right, I know. And the funny thing about, so that was probably when I got to know you the best is throughout that hiking trip. But apparently it was planned on Sizzler. I actually don't remember the conversation that led. That's like a classic Sizzler thing. That's literally probably not at all the first time that's happened to a group of book people. But after Sizzler, I get put in this group message. I think it was on Facebook. Mm-hmm. And it was me, you, Vicky Varberg, and Baron Marshall.
Yep.
And it was Vicky that like initiated it. She's like, hey guys, are y'all still down to like hike across Catalina Island? And I was like, I mean, yeah.
It was like news to you. You're like, oh, okay.
Right. And it kind of just like, we just like did it. All of us just like spontaneously made it happen and met up in California. I guess, what are some of your favorite memories from that trip in particular?
Yeah. So that was funny because there's a lot to that story. So that was my first time being home in like a year, actually. And so I flew into the Fresno airport and Vicky picked me up. Mm-hmm. And it was pretty late at night. It was probably like 10. I want to say probably like around 10 p.m. And then she drives me down to my grandparents' house about an hour south of Fresno. And it's probably like 10, 11 p.m. by that point. And I see my family for the first time in like a year. And they're like, hey, like we're saying hi to each other, you know, and like getting each other hugs. And they knew I was going on the backpacking trip, so they had some things prepared for me. And me and Vicky just started, like, packing all of my stuff with my grandparents, my mom. First time seeing them in a year.
Wow.
And then literally, like, 30 minutes or an hour later, we take off. And so I think we, from there, we drive down to L.A. We drive straight through to L.A.
Mm-hmm.
to go pick up you and Baron. You guys just got done with MITT.
Right.
And
it was, like, 4 a.m. when y'all got there.
Yeah, it was super, super late because I think we actually went back up to Vicky's, like, brother's house or something, I want to say. And I met them for the first time. And then by the time we get down to you guys, it's like 4 a.m. Met up with you guys at a random hotel in L.A.
Yeah.
And I just remember you guys were sharing a room with a couple other, like, bookends.
Right. So many of us piled in that room.
Yeah, I remember you guys saying that. And then so you guys came out into the hallway, and we finished packing all of our stuff in the hallway, like, up until, like, 5 or whatever a.m.
Right.
And I remember people walking by us in the middle of the hallway. We just have all of our stuff scattered around.
Our survival stuff.
Yep. And then so we're like, all right, let's do it. So we go, and we meet at the ferry.
That was so awesome.
Before 6 a.m., I think it was.
Yeah, it was.
And me and Vicky, no sleep. Mm-hmm. You and Baron had, like, I think an hour of sleep or something like that.
Yeah.
And so we get onto the ferry, and we all pass out, crash. It's like an hour ferry. We all crash, like, a lot of the time. And then we get there, and then I've never been – I think Vicky was the only one who's ever backpacked by that point.
Right.
And so she's kind of the one who, like, put the whole trip together. And so yeah. we're all, like, just being super coachable book kids, you know? Like, all right, I guess we'll do this thing.
So true. Yeah, honestly, that was such a vibe. That whole story, like, I swear, memories where you're, like, up super early in the morning, road tripping, going on an adventure. It was cool because it worked out. It was, like, so meant to be. Cause, yeah. And especially that we talked about it on Sizzler because me and Baron were randomly in L.A. for MITT. Your family's from there. Vicky was there. It was awesome. And yeah, Vicky definitely had all the supplies, all the survival stuff. We're like, we don't know what we're doing. I remember before the trip, though, I was at Walmart and I walked back past this aisle and there was like a snake bite recovery kit. And I was like, I should get that, you know, just in case. And I was like, no, like, we're not going to get bit by a snake. And then I was like, I'd feel like an idiot if I, like, walked right by this and then one of us got bit by a snake.
Literally.
So that was my contribution to the survival kit. Thankfully, we didn't see any snakes or anything. But, yeah, jumped in the car, filed in, went to the ferry. I remember it was such a vibe because all of us fell asleep. And then I woke up just in time to see, like, the sunrise over the ocean as we were getting to Catalina Island.
Yeah.
That was awesome. And then we just hiked, like, day in, day out. Mm-hmm. It was, like, a three-day hike or something like that.
2.5, 3 days, yeah.
Yeah, I think we stayed two nights, right? Mm-hmm. And one night we stayed, like, camped on the beach.
Yeah, and that was awesome.
That was so cool. Remember, it was the weather in California then, it was super warm. It was, like, perfect weather, like, high 70s.
Yep.
But the ocean was still really cold. But we still went and swam in the ocean, and it felt like a nice little ice bath.
It was nice.
And then we built a fire, got, like, warmed up by the fire after swimming in, like, a super cold ocean.
Mm-hmm.
Had, like, hot chocolate and, like, nature food.
Yeah, that was awesome. Fun fact, too, I found out this later that exact time that we were there, there was, like, they had a higher than average, like, great white.
Oh my gosh, no way.
Like, in that area of California. And I just thought about it because, like, we were literally in the ocean, like, right there. Like,
yeah, we were, like, the only ones swimming in the ocean.
Literally.
Oh my gosh, I'm glad we lived.
Literally.
But yeah, so I think that was, like, obviously you get to know people pretty well when you're just hiking day in, day out. It was really cleansing, too, just walking and hiking and experiencing all the nature and just
being disconnected. And
yeah, like, we all our phones were, like, on airplane mode, so that way we could still take pictures and stuff. So, yeah, good times. So then, obviously, we've seen each other on every Sizzler.
Mm-hmm.
But then now has been a really cool memory because I know you've been working really hard for this physique competition that you just completed. So tell us a little bit about that. I know you've always been super into fitness, or have been for 13 years, I remember you saying. Mm-hmm. So kind of tell us about, summarize your fitness journey and what led you to compete in the physique competition, your mindset leading up, and yeah, kind of summarize that for us.
Yeah. So about 13 years ago, I was a freshman in high school. That shows a little bit about my age. And back in my day.
You're so old.
And so I was playing football at the time. And so I was also wrestling in high school. And that's when I first got introduced to weightlifting. And I've always been a really small kid, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like my work ethic was always something that, like, I always kind of felt a little behind most other people because of my size.
Mm-hmm.
And especially, like, playing football, that's usually a bigger person's sport.
Right.
So I felt like I always had to work really hard in order to just even get, like, even with everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where I don't want to say that's where I started my work ethic, but that was an outlet where I can put that into. And, yeah, I just, like, fell in love with it right away. I just love lifting and everything about fitness. The nutrition side wasn't quite there yet. I remember in wrestling season, like, I would cut weight every single year, and I was horrible at it. Like,
really?
So bad. Like, wow. I did not do it right at all. I probably would have done way better in wrestling in high school if I would have, like, been more on top of the nutrition.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so right around my junior year is right around whenever I started getting more into nutrition. I still played football through my senior year. I wrestled all the way through college. And so junior year of high school, I got a lot more into the nutrition side as well. And a big, I guess, emotional purpose, or, like, why for me for, like, fitness and nutrition is my mom actually got diagnosed with several types of cancer.
Wow.
Including a brain tumor. And right around, like, my junior year. So I think that's right around the time I started getting into nutrition. and it was just really tough to see that. I know it was, had to do with some lifestyle choices and stuff like that, and so that kind of just fueled that passion a little bit more. And then from there, I was able to wrestle in college, actually, at Fresno City College,
mm-hmm.
which is really awesome, because to this day, I don't even understand how I made it onto that team.
Wow.
Because in California, there's only one class, one division in high school wrestling. So if you make it to the state tournament, it's like, there's not like class A, B, C, D. It's just one, like, California state. If you're state champ, like, you're the state champ for the entire state. And wow. I realized once I moved to Nebraska that that's not the case with most states.
Right.
And so I qualified for state in wrestling, sophomore through senior year. I was the only one on my team to do that. I was team captain on my high school wrestling team all those years as well. And yeah, it just like, it was kind of like a feedback loop, you know, like I was really into fitness to begin with. And then like the whole thing happened with my mom, and the more I got into fitness and nutrition, the better results I kept seeing. And then because the better results, I just believed that I can continue to do this stuff more and more. And then it just continued to cycle into each other. And then, so I was very blessed to make it on to Fresno City's team, because I saw all these kids in, all around the state of California who were studs, who were state champs, state placers,
mm-hmm.
and I ended up wrestling with a lot of them. So I was on a team with a lot of California state champs and state placers, and me and one of my crosstown rivals, Martine, we actually ended up both being roommates for the 2.5 years I was there.
Oh my gosh, that's awesome.
And he was a stud. He ended up being a state champ at Fresno City. And so I further developed my fitness and nutrition there. My coach was a D1 national champ, so he helped teach me a ton about both of those things. And in that time, I really, really solidified my work ethic. I really do believe I was the hardest worker on that team by far.
Wow.
Which is really cool. And then, and again, I think that goes back into being a smaller guy in football. You know, I feel like I had to prove myself, and then my mom had to prove myself more and wanted to avoid certain like lifestyle things and diseases and stuff. And, from there, very blessed that I was able to place in the state of California in college, and then got a scholarship to wrestle in Nebraska at a small private school called Doan University.
Uh-huh.
And then from there, I wrestled there for 2.5 years, and I had a goal of being a national champ. My goal didn't necessarily happen, and that's totally cool.
Yeah.
Because I had incredible experiences because of that. And right around like my junior year or so is when I got introduced to Southwestern. And then, so going to Southwestern my first summer, I was about to go into my senior wrestling season, so that was my biggest sacrifice.
Wow, yeah.
Even though I hadn't been home in over a year and a half, which is the longest I'd been away from home.
Mm-hmm.
And I did my first summer. Like Weston said, was the top first year, worked my ass off. And that was a crazy experience. And I mean, in terms of Southwestern, here we are 4 or 5 years later going to my fifth summer.
Right. It's crazy how that works.
Yeah. And then I had always known that. And yeah, so fitness and nutrition has always been a part of my life, like even after college. Which is funny because all my wrestling teammates in high school, they always told me, because of my eating habits at the time, they're like, bro, when you get done wrestling, you're going to get fat.
Oh, my gosh.
So who's laughing now?
Yeah, for real.
And so after college, I just stayed really passionate about nutrition, fitness. It really, for me, it really helped me ground myself. And it's I just think if I don't like train my body, then my mind is going to fall behind, and it's like I don't feel in like my optimal state. So I think that's another part of that feedback loop, you know?
Yeah.
I just feel at my best self when I do that kind of stuff. And then people throughout a long time have asked me like, hey, are you going to like compete in like a physique competition or bodybuilding or whatever? And I was like, I mean, I think it would make sense, you know? I would always say I don't think it would make sense not to,
right,
for how much I lift and stuff.
Uh-huh.
And my buddy Danny, Danny Gamboa, he sold me on running a marathon last year, right at this time.
Mm-hmm.
I swore I never was never going to run one. I probably never will again because it destroyed my body and I lost a lot of muscle.
Yeah.
And so I ran that. It was a huge confidence anchor for me. That was really cool.
Yeah.
Getting to say I did that. injured for the 2 months before leading up to the marathon, injured my knee, both knees. Like, day before I ran the marathon, still didn't think I was going to run it. I thought I was going to bike most of it.
Yeah.
And then
powered through those injuries.
More knee braces, ran through it. And then leading up to my fifth summer with Southwestern this year, I think it makes sense to do challenging things leading into it. Mm-hmm. So keep you disciplined and consistent and do things you don't want to do that you know you should.
Right.
And so finally one day I was like, okay, whatever, like, let's just do it.
Yeah, let's just do it.
And so I started looking online for coaches. And then it's funny how the universe works, because the next day I was at the gym with my roommate and buddy Justin Lienertz. And I saw this really jacked dude. And I was like, kind of like, because I was just looking for coaches the day before, I was very aware of it.
Right.
And then at the end of our workout, we go into the little room with the mirror where you stretch. And I saw this dude like posing like he had competed before. So I asked him if he'd competed, and he said, yeah. And I was like, cool, because I'm actually looking for a coach right now. And he's like, oh, cool, I've coached before. And like, so I thought he was gonna be my coach for whatever reason. Like, we just didn't vibe very well together. And so, like, literally one of the next few days, my buddy, my old wrestling teammate Chandler Knight, like, replied to one of my Instagram stories. And I asked him, because he's freaking jacked out of his mind, and he's competed before, so I asked him if he knew any coaches, and he gave me his buddy Keenan's number. So I got in touch with a coach. We FaceTimed, we vibed really well, so I paid him to be my coach, and we hadn't set up any, like, competitions by that point, so we're like, all right, first step is find a competition.
Yeah.
So we looked at a few, we kind of confirmed a few different ones, but then we had to change them because the dates didn't work out.
Uh-huh.
So then we decided on one in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Funny enough, where we're having this conversation right now.
Right.
On May 1st. Again, very funny because it's May 2nd right now.
Yeah. Leading up to this moment.
Yep. And so going to, like, leading up to the competition, I've always been really into nutrition, fitness, but this was just like another level in terms of like specificity and how specific and how exact.
Right.
Everything has to be
a whole new level.
Yeah. Whole new level. Cause like I literally have a food scale now, and I've been for the last 10 weeks, I've been measuring every single bit of food I eat and drink.
Mm-hmm.
And that was just a little bit, out of my comfort zone, but I got used to it pretty quick. I'd already been used to like cutting weight and everything.
Right.
And then, yeah, so leading up to this, like, it reminded me of being in wrestling season. It's been about 2-3 years since I wrestled, and it was just really cool because I mentioned on an interview I had yesterday at the show that the show is called Battle of the Bodies 2021 Tulsa, Oklahoma. And I got interviewed after the show, and I mentioned how these last few weeks, like, I was so depleted so many times, like, dead, and, like, basically zero body fat and, like, hardly any energy as my cardio was increasing, as my calories were decreasing, and almost for sure this last week of training, and honestly throughout most of the time, almost every single set, I would do one or two more reps, and I would always say, like, one more for good measure. Or, love, like, that. I'd do a couple more reps, and I would say, this is why I'm going to hit my goals. This is why I'm going to hit my goals, you know? And even though, like, my first or second sets, I was literally dead tired.
Yeah.
Because of how depleted I was. And so I'd still manage to find that strength to do those last couple. Yeah. And honestly, the whole reason I did this was really just to be more disciplined, to have like, be a more consistent person, try to see what, like, the level I can actually get myself to.
Mm-hmm.
Cause I've always had people mention that I was, like, really, like, in shape, even on, like, my wrestling teams and stuff. And so that's the real reason I did it. So I was saying on my Instagram story yesterday that, like, that's the reason I did it. And because of that, I already received the rewards before the show even happened.
Yeah. It's powerful.
Yeah. And so, yeah, it was just a really cool journey, and, yeah.
Paid off. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's really cool, because hearing that story and kind of the lead up, because since I've known you, I've really known you to be someone that's super disciplined and just super growth-minded, always reading books, always into fitness, always being super coachable and learning all you can. And it's kind of cool to see that it stems back from really having a strong why when you were super young, you know, with your mom and playing sports and being the smaller guy. And it seems like you really just developed the habit of work ethic, and that kind of just became who you are, a person that's disciplined and gives everything you have and things like that. And that was really cool. And this was the first physique show you've done.
First ever, yeah.
First one you've even been to.
Yes.
So, and I'll kind of chip in from my end of what it was kind of like, because I, you know, had seen that you were prepping for a show and whatnot. I just didn't know where the show was. And a couple of days before, I learned it was in Oklahoma. And our friend Willie was also coming down to Oklahoma. And we're like, let's go support Seth. And so we went. And of course, yeah, the real homies, right? So, and we didn't know that you had never even, like, watched one before. And so we're all learning. I'm trying to learn, like, how they're doing things and whatnot. And as we're watching these different classes, and because you're, the competition that you were in was all first-timers. That was, like, and apparently, turns out, you were in lots of different classes and competitions. But we thought it was just one. So we didn't know how it worked yet. But you were in, like, a group of first-timers, and yours was by far, like, the biggest group. And, like, definitely, like, the most shredded ones, too. So we came up there, we're like, dang, you have a lot of competition compared to the other classes of people. But we were like, I think Seth can still win. And one thing that I think was apparent was, like, the preparation that you put in. Because I know you mentioned that the work had already been done and the reward was there. Mm-hmm. And that really showed on stage, because there was people that were fit and were in good shape, but they were straining so hard, you know. And I feel like in a competition like that, you just can't hide the preparation, because it's literally like a body competition. Mm-hmm. You're just so natural up there, just being yourself and showing what your hard work had done. And so we get to the finals, and they're like announcing the final five. You were competing, like, the first competition was against at least like 20 other guys. Mm-hmm. And they called out the final five, and your number was the last one that they called. And you're like, oh, let's go, because they're like calling these different numbers, and we're like, please let Seth be one of them, please let Seth be one of them. And then they called your name last, and then they're like, all right, fifth place is so and so, fourth place, we're like, wow, okay, he's top three, third place, second place, and then you won your competition.
Let's go.
And so we got super hype. We're like, you know, going wild. All the people around us were congratulating us, like, wow, your friend did really good, like, your friend is awesome. Like, yeah, right. We're super proud. And then, but it keeps getting better, because you keep getting called up there for, like, different classes, different competitions, and you're winning all of them. And then we get to the, and then you thought you were done, and you're like, guys, let's go take a picture or whatever. And so, and then someone tracks you down, and they're like, dude, you're not done yet. We have, like, a couple more competitions. You're like, oh, okay. So you go back on there. The last one is an overall competition. So not only were you competing against all the first-timers, but also against all the experienced, all the weight classes, all the age groups, it's everybody. And again, they're like calling them like one by one, and you won the whole freaking thing. So you're going to be literally the poster child for next year. They're going to put them on a big poster. They were interviewing them. It was like a really big deal. So anyways, that was from our perspective, it was really cool to kind of see, you know, your hard work pay off and kind of be in the crowd and seeing how it all works. And definitely a testament just to hard work and dedication and having a strong why.
Yeah, it was really cool. It was a big learning experience for sure. Even though I've had a lot of, like, understanding and knowledge of that field, you know, it was just, like, I paid for a coach, and he was awesome the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
Taught me a ton, and even being at the show, like you said, just, like,
yeah,
me experiencing that for the first time along with you guys.
Right.
Sometimes you guys would ask me questions and be like,
You're like, I have no idea.
I don't know. Let's figure out. Yeah. So it was just cool being out of my comfort zone and learning a ton, and it... Even though I had been there for the first time, like when I was backstage, I just felt very comfortable, which is really cool.
Right.
So,
and it's crazy the confidence, and I like talking to kids about this, but the confidence that truly comes from, like, work ethic and integrity, you know, when you know that you've given your best and you know that you've worked hard, there's just like a confidence that can't be hidden. And when those things aren't true, like it breaks your confidence. It literally breaks your confidence. And I honestly think that's one thing that set you apart on stage. Because, and we talked about this afterwards, but there's one guy that was, like, super shredded, similar to you, and I know you were thinking that he might be your biggest competition.
Yeah.
And we thought that, too, but on stage, you just had so much more confidence, and he was, like, shaking, like, straining with all he had to, like, flex and stuff like that. But I think that just your knowledge and your work ethic and integrity with yourself and discipline was another factor that adds to success.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty cool. Definitely a confidence booster probably going into this upcoming summer.
Absolutely.
And one thing I was going to ask you about, because So throughout Southwestern, and it seems like throughout life, you've had a lot of victories through mm-hmm. hard work. And I know you're a top first year. You've been a top experienced. This past summer, you jumped from, you said, 4,600 units to over 7,000 units mm-hmm. this past summer. You've been a great OL. You know, you're hitting your fitness goals, I guess. But I think we all know that through success comes a lot of failure, too. Mm-hmm. So one question I want to ask you is, what are some things that you've learned from failure and times where you felt like you weren't a winner, and times where you felt like life is kicking your teeth in, and times where you didn't exactly feel like a champion? What are some things that you've learned through failure that you think has led up to success?
Yeah, that's a great question. And another thing I'm going to add that perfectly answers that is I actually just started my first online fitness coaching business mm-hmm. about 6-7 months ago. And it's called Relentless Fitness. So see it on my Instagram.
Right. Check the gram.
Yeah. And that's literally a perfect example of that. In the beginning, right, like I had started coaching people because I built a lot of credibility in Southwestern. Mm-hmm. I was actually giving an advanced sales part at our fall ball, which is right after the summer. Mm-hmm. And within our organization of like 100 students, JOID force, well, honestly at the time, cause it was right after the summer, it was actually a lot more kids than that. I was like the number 4 producer in all of JOID force. So I had a lot of credibility. And after my part, I mentioned like, hey, like I believe fitness and nutrition, and like that builds your confidence during the summertime, right? And because of that, like I give myself a shameless plug. I directed everyone to my Instagram handle where I had a link. They filled it out, and basically that was like my first time like even having like paid clients. Mm. And because I said it in a big group with already credibility, I had a lot of people like sign up to like at least receive a call from me. Uh-huh. And so I had like 20 plus people sign up right off the bat. And
this is for fitness coaching, right?
Fitness coaching. Yep. And so at that time, I still really had no idea what I was doing.
Yeah.
And it was, I'd been wanting to do this for several years. I'd been studying how to like start your own fitness business for a long time. And finally I was like, all right, it's time. So I jumped into it, and like that, the question that you asked right now is perfect description of this, because I had no idea what I was doing. I'd started signing people up, and I didn't really know how to create a great experience for them. I like was just starting to learn the platforms and software I was using, and how to market myself and email marketing, and what programs to use for the training program itself and the nutrition program. And in that time, like I had a lot of clients, and I was feeling extremely overwhelmed. I was working after my summer, literally like 14-hour days still. Wow. The morning I would wake up till like I would go to sleep, literally completely focused on like figuring out how the heck to run this business that I now have paying clients for.
Right. Paying you clients know? That are your friends.
Exactly, my mm-hmm. friends. And so I wanted to create a good experience. And like in the beginning, it was just like a lot of people were like doing stuff, but I didn't know how to create a system of accountability that well. And like, it was hard to keep my clients super consistent at first. Mm-hmm. And then I remember I would like kind of like do a mid program interview with a lot of them, and I'd send out like a Google form for like a feedback thing. And, towards the end of it, it's an 8-week program currently. And so towards like maybe like week 5 or 6, I sent out a feedback like survey. And one of the last questions on there was like, if you can continue on, like, would you? Mm-hmm. And these are a lot of my friends.
Yeah.
And most of them said no. Mm. And that was really tough.
Yeah.
You know? Because they paid me, and I wanted to create a good experience.
Right. It's like your dream business.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was just really tough, you know? And it was – because it kind of sucked. I wanted to create a good experience. I had pictured being able to – help them hit their fitness goals, and I felt like I kind of failed in that aspect, you know. Mm-hmm. Because of that, some of them didn't come back. A few of them did, but most of them didn't.
Right.
Out of like 20 or so people.
Yeah.
So that was kind of tough to experience and go through at the time. But I pictured that in that moment, that would be a moment I would look back on later and laugh at.
Yeah.
Because I knew that would be a part of the journey, and that's a part of the journey that would – it would make the story even better. Mm-hmm. and it'd help empower other people who were in that same journey, not just with being like running a business or being a coach or whatever, but in any like failure, quote unquote, right? And just showing that it's like, hey, like, just because you see someone with success doesn't mean they've always had that success. Like, they had to work through a lot of challenges and things like that to get better.
Yeah.
And so in my mind, I had pictured myself years down the road looking back to the moment I was in as like something I was going to laugh at.
Right.
And a cool moment, a turning point. And so over time, like now 6-7 months in, I've had probably about 40 or so clients. And I mean, still very far from perfect. Uh-huh. I still have a long, long ways to go.
Yeah.
But one of the biggest things I've been trying to improve is my client experience. And I feel like out of anything that I've improved on the most in the last 6-7 months is my client experience.
Yeah.
And it's just been really cool being able to make it, like from the moment someone initially reaches out to me to when they sign up to going through like the first couple weeks of their program to finishing their program, right? Like that experience has improved massively. And I've had some really, really cool testimonials from some book kids. A student, Anthony, he in his first like 2-3 weeks, he's lost like 10 pounds.
Wow.
He's been feeling way better. And then one of my buddies, Trey, he's not a book kid. I was in fraternity with him in college. He's just a really, really great dude. And he just got married recently. He's about to have twins.
Wow.
Right now. And that's a big motivation for why I wanted to do this. And like back to back, I had these like check-in calls with Anthony and Trey. And Anthony's like, yeah, I'm down 10 pounds. And then Trey was like, honestly, bro, like I never was a person that eat that much breakfast. And on the plan, I was eating a lot. Man, it was a big difference for me. I didn't really eat that much during the day ever. And he's like, it was tough at first, but eventually, like, I started getting hungrier faster, which means his metabolism is improving.
Yeah.
And he's like, I just realized how much energy that eating breakfast gives me, and how, like, before, after work, I'd be done pretty much, like, at 4 p.m., I'd just, like, be dead tired, you know? And he's like, now he actually has energy to do stuff with his new wife and prepare stuff for the kids and... Mm. So
that's got to be cool to hear.
Yeah, it was really cool and really, really awesome to hear that. And because that's literally what I wanted to do this for. And
yeah,
I had in that aspect, I had a lot of failure, quote unquote, in the beginning. But it's just really not looking at it as a failure.
Mm.
It's just looking at it as it's just a stepping stone. And you can't goes along with the whole quote. You don't have to be great to start, but you have to start in order to be great.
Yeah, that's great.
You know?
I love that.
And so it's just working through those uncomfortables and things you're not good at and just being coachable and finding people who are good at those things.
Yeah.
You know, having humility and being able to admit that, hey, I don't know everything, so I'm going to go find the answers.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to dive into it, not being afraid to start.
Right.
And just diving in, and as you dive in and go through the experience and you're coachable, you're just going to get better and better and better. And just using those like failures as a platform to grow and get better.
Yeah. To learn. That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for sharing that. Mm-hmm. What I liked about what you just said is, you know, going back to when you first started out, I think there's a couple key things in that. And one is perspective is such a powerful tool.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one thing that we get to learn a lot and practice a lot throughout Southwestern, but also just the decision to actually get feedback and be brave enough to take constructive criticism and not be discouraged by it, to, mm-hmm. you know, take it for what it is and then get better, which is cool. And then honestly, just continuing on and persisting and using it to change what you're doing and learning. And I think any time that we as people like go after something and put forth great effort, we're going to get knocked down sometimes. And that's just part of it. It's part of the game, part of the growth.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but also just your perspective on, yeah, years from now, I'm going to look back at this and be like, wow, like that was my starting point, you know? And I think we were actually kind of talking about this yesterday in terms of like leading people in Southwestern, mm-hmm. like people that are starting out. It's like, whoa, we probably did things like that too.
Literally, yeah.
And so it's a universal thing, but that's cool. So now, you've had up to 40 clients, and so mm-hmm. learning a lot, growing a lot, still doing well in fitness and still doing well throughout you know, Southwestern and putting your all into a lot of different things at once. So I guess for you, Seth, if you couldn't fail, sounds kind of like an interview, right?
Yeah, I guess, literally.
what would your life look like in 10, 20, 30 years as far as lifestyle, business? What's your dream job, dream goal? What's life for Seth going to look like later on down the road?
Yeah, great question. And this might be a little contrary to how most people talk about goal setting.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I'm a very go with the flow kind of guy.
Yeah.
And some people, it totally makes sense for some people to be extremely, extremely specific
mm-hmm.
with their goals, what they want to do 30 years down the road. You know, this is exactly what I want, and here's a plan to get there. Some people have zero idea.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of somewhere in the middle where I'm extremely specific but general at the same time. Where the specifics come into play is the things I want out of it
mm-hmm.
and the feelings I want.
Mm.
And how I want to help. So the specifics is I want to be able to do something that allows me to have true freedom. And when I say that, I mean time freedom, location freedom, and financial freedom.
Mm-hmm.
Something that allows me to give back to people and do something that really inspires people and helps people grow and break past their like mental belief barriers.
Yeah.
And something that I just wake up and I'm like beyond excited for every single day, where it's just like you hear some people talk about how like they don't need an alarm clock because their passion wakes them up, you know. Like I want a life like that where I'm excited to wake up every single day and I have people around me who love me and push me to become better and who sacrifice for me and I sacrifice for them, and we just have great relationships with each other. I just want to be able to do what I want, when I want, where I want. Make a big impact on the world. And so those are a lot of like the, and I just want to be like very fulfilled and blissful, and the whole thing of like I want to be extremely happy but always like hungry for more,
right?
You yeah know? Always makes pushing sense. Myself and growing. And where the general part comes into play is like I don't know what that's gonna be,
right?
Whether it's like fitness coaching, because like I think I'm too naive. I'm not that smart in terms of like if where I'm at right now in my life, there's no way even 2 years ago I would have been able to guess where I'm at today.
Yeah.
And because I'm okay with, I've read the book The Surrender Experiment and The Untethered Soul. And so much of that is very similar where it's just like, I can't guess, you know, the universe and God like has a bigger plan than what I know.
Right.
And so for me to come up with such a specific plan for how everything plays out, some people that works. But for me, it's just like, I think there's always a bigger plan in place than what I can guess is the best for me.
Yeah.
And so it's just like, whether that's fitness coaching, whether that's Southwestern, whether that's like life coaching or like speaking or like whatever it is.
Yeah.
I don't really know. And that's okay.
Right.
And some people are very stressed out about that. And I'm totally cool with that because I actually have exact life experiences where I've done this,
mm-hmm.
where I've let go, and just doesn't mean you don't work hard. I think that's the key things is you have to work hard and you have to like feel good with where you are in the moment.
Yeah, that's powerful.
No matter what the external circumstances are.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever comes, it like... Another book I read was I'm blanking on it. It took place in Spain. And he talks about these omens. And I'm totally blanking on the name of the book right now. It'll come to me. But he talks about these omens where it's like kind of like signs from the universe.
Uh-huh.
And for me, it was just like, that's kind of like my physique competition.
Yeah.
You know? You would ask me literally 3 months ago,
mm-hmm.
if yesterday I was going to compete in a physique competition, would have never guessed.
Right.
But I just listened to these signs, right?
Yeah.
From the universe or God or whatever you want to say. And I just work really hard on those things. And I try to be as grateful as I can every single day and try to feel good. Like try to be like, try to not content necessarily, but happy where I'm at.
Right.
And just trying to like continue to grow to the next level, and you'd be surprised where life will take you.
Yeah. That's so cool.
Yeah.
I really appreciate people like you and people that are, I think that's such a good skill to have. And I think the balance is you work extremely hard and you're very disciplined and you have fun and you have a balance of mindset and forward thinking and you're just open to lots of different opportunities and you're trying out lots of different opportunities mm-hmm. that are coming your way. So Seth, thank you so much for sharing all that. I get so much out of these. I get so much out of just talking to people that are growth minded and that are have big goals and are chasing them. So I appreciate you spending some time and we'll probably have more spontaneous adventures in the future. And briefly, the whole concept of this podcast, I'm calling it Time Capsule Podcast, where I feel so grateful to have so many interesting characters in my life that are starting businesses and that are working hard. And so I had the idea to interview them about mindset, about their goals, about what they're doing now, and kind of just what they're learning through success and failure. And it's going to be something cool that, you know, we can all look back on whenever we want, whether that's 10 years from now or whether it's a few months from now or whatever. I just think it's cool to have recorded documents of people that are, you know, making a difference. Mm-hmm. So Seth, I appreciate you. Thanks for being you. I'm excited to see where life takes you. I know that you're also doing your own podcast, so definitely check out Seth Hood's Instagram and keep up with his journey.
Cool. I appreciate you for having me on, Weston, and I look forward to our future memes.
Absolutely. All right. Thanks for listening in. Adios.